going to read God's Word today from the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We'll begin reading near the close of the chapter at the verse 25. Matthew 11 and verse 25. Let us hear the Word of the living God. Let us carefully think about these all authoritative words of the greatest man that ever lived. For he was not only man, he was and is eternal God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you find more authoritative words than the words of the God-man himself? Matthew 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Amen. We end our reading there at the close of that chapter. And it is indeed our prayer that God would bring someone today to come and enjoy the rest. Rest unto the soul. There is no rest like that anywhere in the world. Praise God for the privilege of resting on Christ. Resting in Christ. And depending and relying only upon His finished work for our salvation. Now we are considering, especially this portion today, a short reading, but we'll scan it a little. It was a hot, humid day in North Carolina. 16-year-old Basil Manley walked down a dusty road in deep thought. His mother had recently come to know Christ and was soon to be baptized in the Hall River. He didn't like her getting religion because it made him very uneasy. That's why he was out of the house in the heat of the day, just to get away from mother and her religion. Well, she was just her sweet self, always doing for him and for the rest of the family. But now she read her Bible. And she prayed often. And that's what bothered Basil so much. He had no desire for that religion. And his mother caused him to be very troubled in heart. And when he saw her Bible, he understood that he was being disrespectful to his mother. He was very proud. And as he walked around, he couldn't help but think about that. But he continued walking and getting farther away from home and from his chores. He was glad. And suddenly, he thought he heard a voice. Oh no, I hope it's not God speaking to me. He stopped, and then he heard it again. It was coming from the cornfield. Slowly, he entered the field trying to keep quiet. He could hear the voice getting louder as he went along. Then he saw a sight that he would never forget to his dying day. There in the little open spot in the middle of the cornfield was his father's oldest slave. He was down on those old arthritic knees, his head bare, that white hair on that ebony face looking like a halo. And there he was praying. His voice was choked with emotion. Vassal could now make out the words that the old slave was praying. And here's what he said. Oh Lord, speak to Masabaz and save his soul and call him to preach your saving gospel. Those were heart-piercing words. As the tears and the sweat streamed down, mingling together on that dark face, Vassal felt the tears beginning to flow from his own eyes. He was too near to wipe them because he didn't want to be detected. In a moment, his pride was smitten. The slave's prayer had prevailed. God had answered. Vassal, overwhelmed with emotion, fell upon his knees beside the old slave. The old slave was so surprised. He looked up and he was shocked that his place of private devotion had been discovered. But it was no time to worry, because that day his young master emerged with him from that cornfield, a new man, sharing his mother's faith. Well, God did call Vassal Manley to preach the gospel and even to be a chaplain in the Confederate Army. But before that, he was even the president of the University of Alabama. Well, Manley preached Christ. And here, our Lord Jesus Christ is speaking. He's actually looking up and praying to the Father. And he said, I thank thee, O Father in heaven, Lord of heaven and earth. And he thanked him especially for three things. And I would like you to note with me those three things that Jesus thank the Father for. First of all, for hiding some things. Secondly, for revealing those things. And then, finally, for delivering all things. It's most interesting to me that Jesus would say this, the very God-man speaking of his Father and his Father's activity. He thanked him for hiding some things. Now let's look at that. What did the Father hide? Well, if you simply go back in the context of this chapter, you will see that the Lord Jesus Christ had been talking about repentance. If you look back there in verse 20, you'll see that the Lord was saying, he upbraided the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done because they repented not. Also in verse 21, he says that Tyre and Sidon would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. In verse 23, if these works had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But there was no repentance, even where Christ had done so many mighty miracles in that region. The gift of repentance had been hidden from the eyes and from the minds of these people. Now, many people seem to, what is repentance anyway? Well, repentance is turning from sin with a real purpose of heart and turning to the living God to love Him and serve Him instead of serving self and sin. Well, many people seem to think that they can repent, they can change their ways, they can turn to God from sin anytime they make up their mind to do so. Well, why don't they? If it's so easy, what are they waiting for? It is not as easy as Satan would have you to believe. The Bible teaches, if you study the Bible, and that's the only way we know about God, is the Bible, as the Spirit of God, shows us the meaning of it. The Bible teaches that repentance is a gift of God given directly by Him to some people. Acts chapter 5, verse 31 says, Christ has been exalted as a prince and a savior to give repentance to Israel. All right, the Jews. There you are. Acts chapter 11, verse 18 goes a little farther. God also to the Gentiles hath granted repentance unto life. Well, they say, there it is, preacher. You got it. Don't worry about it. It's given to the Jews. It's given to the Gentiles. So we've all got it. No. Listen to some more scripture. I wish you did all have repentance. And I pray, God, that you will all know repentance. But God goes on to say in 2 Timothy 2:25, if God peradventure, bet you hadn't used that word today. If God peradventure, it means perhaps. If God perhaps will give them repentance. So this is the point God has hidden. This repentance from those who think they have it and can do it and have never repented. Their lives have never been changed. They have never been reversed in their style of living. They have never come to know the living God and turn from sin because they're still in their sin. They love life like it is. They're happy with the status quo and never want to see it changed. Well, not only repentance, but the gift of faith has also been hidden. If you read 2 Thessalonians 3:2, Paul writing about ungodly men said literally, not all men have faith. That's a very plain, literal word of God. Not all men have faith. Well, why then do any people have faith? Paul explains it. Real saving faith, he tells us in Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now notice, and that not of yourselves.
Amen.
It is the gift of God. Wow. Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. The apostle says, for unto you it is given in behalf of Christ to believe on Him. Wow. So repentance and faith are both gifts of God. Jesus thanked God for hiding these great spiritual realities from some people. And He even tells us who He hides them from. If you go on and read in Matthew chapter 11 and down there in verse 25. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. Now, the wise, God pours His contempt on merely fleshly human wisdom. People like the Pharisees who thought they knew it all. Unless you think I'm being too hard on the Pharisees, I'm going to turn over to John for just a second. In chapter 9, Jesus is speaking to the Pharisees. Interesting how a lot of them followed along and wanted to hear what He was saying. In chapter 9 of John, verse 39, listen to Jesus. And Jesus said, for judgment I am coming into this world, that they which see might not see, and that they which see might be made blind. Okay, let me read that again. For judgment I am come into the world, that they which see not might see. That's what it says. And that they which see might be made blind. Now notice the Pharisees' response. So the Pharisees, which were with Him, heard these words and said unto Him, are we blind also? Now listen to Jesus' response. This is stuff we need to hear. He said, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see. Therefore your sin remains. Now many people today, like the Pharisees, are intellectually acquainted with the Scriptures. They are intellectually acquainted with Christian people and the church, but they don't have a real personal acquaintance with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. They know about Him, but the Holy Spirit has not made them spiritually alive with His awesome regenerating power. They are still blind and dead, not having the life of God implanted into their soul. Now, these are the wise people. Jesus thanked the Father for hiding these things from those that were wise. And I'm going to have to stop here and get salt out of my eye. Believe I'm like Basil Manley watching that slave praying. Well, this is good. Okay. Let me get old things on here. Okay. Now, we got another group here. Jesus said, Father, I thank you for hiding from the wise, but also from the prudent. Now, who are the prudent? People who commend themselves saying, well, I'm not a man of extremes. I steer a steady middle pathway. Such people as prudent people avoid that which would cause others to think them strange. They want just enough religion to be respected, but not enough religion to cost them anything like suffering, sacrifice, or reproach. They say, I don't judge anybody. I respect all people's religion. The prudent prefer their own happiness and themselves to Christ. They bow at the idol of self and refuse the lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus thanked his Father for hiding these things, these great spiritual realities, from the wise and prudent. You might say the high and mighty, for those that think they have all the answers. Secondly, he thanked the Father for revealing them to babes. You see it right there in verse 25. He said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Babes. Most interesting word here. The original Greek word means an infant, literally one that cannot yet talk, has not reached the stage of speaking. And you know, a baby, there's several things we think about a baby. If you remember Jesus, he said more than once, if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven, you've got to enter in as a child. Except you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. Now, a baby is helpless, very obvious. But you know, a baby knows it's helpless because when they're wet or when they're hungry, they let you know that they're helpless. They cry, and they know that they need help. They can't do it themselves. And this is the very opposite of those wise and prudent people who think they're okay, that they've got it together, that they have the answers, the wisdom in and of themselves. You know, a baby is not only helpless, but a spiritual baby knows it has no power. A spiritual babe would be one who would say, I have no power to deliver myself from the wrath to come. I don't even have one thought that is acceptable to the holy God. I am about to perish and fall into an eternal hell if I cannot save myself. I cannot save myself. A baby's not only helpless, but let me speak kindly. A baby is ignorant. Now, ignorant doesn't mean stupid. It comes from a Greek word that simply means not knowing. Now, the meaning is not knowing what to do. A baby can't walk, doesn't know how to walk, doesn't know how to talk, doesn't know how to read, doesn't understand the Bible and its real meaning. Third thing about a baby, a baby's teachable. If you will lovingly instruct and care for a little one, that little one will trust you and rely upon the truth that you teach him. The fourth thing about a baby easily learns the fear of God. I thank God for my father. He taught me the fear of God and the fear of him. Trembling at the wrath to come. A spiritual babe is one that would tremble at the wrath, at the thought of the wrath to come. And our old Bible still said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. There's nothing wrong with a good, healthy pulse of holy fear, not abuse, but true biblical fear. A baby, in the fifth place, is tender in conscience, not given to rebellion, not having high opinions of self or greatness. But like Paul, a babe, spoken of in this context, is one that can say with Paul, I'm the chief of sinners. I am less than the least of all saints. But oh, how different is a babe from those wise with carnal understanding, and those prudent who manage to steer their lives in a way that seems to be approved by worldly men. Finally, one more thing Jesus thanks the Father for. You see it there? In verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. Now, Christ thanked the Father for delivering all things of the kingdom of grace into his mediating hands. What did he say when he stood after the resurrection about to ascend up into heaven? He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And then he tells his disciples to go and give the gospel. Here is the very essence of eternal life. Jesus is the one who has power to give life. Notice verse 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, that is, except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal it. John 17:3 says, this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. What is eternal life? The essence of eternal life is knowing the Father, and it is knowing him through the God-man who has been sent by the Father. Salvation is personally knowing the holy persons of the Godhead or the Holy Trinity. Now, did you notice what Jesus said here in this verse 27? He was thanking the Father all this time that the Son has the power to reveal the Father to whomsoever the Son will reveal Him. Now, you need to mark that very carefully in your Bible. Right there at the end of verse 27, it says that the Son will reveal the Father to whomsoever He will reveal. Now, I've got to point this out. The will and the reveal it's not simply the future tense of reveal. In the Greek text, there are two verbs distinctly different from each other. Now, the one translated will actually is translated in Scripture several other ways. To whomsoever Christ chooses, intends, decrees, appoints, or desires to reveal the Father to. So you see, Christ has power from the Father to reveal to whoever He chooses to reveal the Father to. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm the type of person, I want Jesus to reveal the Father to me. I don't want to be left out in the dark in everlasting punishment. So do you see the sweet words Jesus gives? But I'm going to tell you something. The only people who will accept these sweet words that Jesus gives are not the high and the mighty, not the wise and the prudent, but only those who will humble themselves as a little baby to listen to Jesus. Look at verse 28. What did Jesus say? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus is saying, if you're burdened down, if you're heavy laden with your sin and all of the terrible calamities of life and all of the cares of this life, and you're just weighed down with it all and you don't think you can go on, you need to come to me. But if you're happy enough with life as it is, you will never come to Jesus Christ truly and receive His eternal salvation. If you're happy enough in yourself, you will never come to Him. It's only as a humble little child that you will come to Him and find rest for your soul. Verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Now, those are sweet words. I hope that they're sweet to your soul and that you will heed them, because the worldly wise, the religious, the selfishly prudent will not accept this offer. The reality is hidden from their eyes. But babes like young Basil Manley that we read about earlier will take Christ, will lean on Him and His free grace for salvation, and will learn the meaning of life eternal begun here and now. You don't have to wait for some time in the distant future for this eternal life. He gives eternal life to believing, repentant sinners even now. I trust that God will bless and seal His holy truth to all our souls this day. For Jesus' sake, let us pray. Oh God, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We confess that Thy Word makes us fear and tremble when we realize that our salvation lies completely in the hands of a merciful God. Lord, we pray that Thou, therefore, with that fear and with that majesty of the awesome God, that Thou wilt humble our hearts so that we will be brought as a child into the state of teachableness, willing to receive the wonderful free grace of salvation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to